So the reading today is from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 13, page 1042. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Now, if you just keep open that page in Luke 11, as we look briefly at this passage in God's word. So, Luke 11, page 1042. And whether you're young or whether you've just become a Christian recently or decades ago or you're young or old, doesn't really matter. We need to remind ourselves about the privilege of prayer. And many Christians, let's face it, feel a little bit guilty about their prayer lives. They think they're not praying enough or in the right way or maybe using the right words. And sadly, there are Christians who are somewhat reluctant to pray openly at church prayer meetings because they don't feel articulate when others just seem to express themselves so much better. And so it's a comfort as we turn here to Luke chapter 11 to read one of Jesus' disciples who've been with him day by day but asks him about some basic instructions on how to pray, having seen Jesus himself praying. Actually, the book of Luke as a whole has a particular focus upon prayer, with a number of records of Jesus praying throughout the book. So when the disciple says, "Teach us to pray," he may have been after a form of words or a structure, a bit like some more traditional Church of England set services. Because the Jewish rabbinic prayers of the day could be a bit like that. And clearly John the Baptist, that John mentioned here in Luke 11, had been given his followers some instructions on how to pray. Although no detail of this has survived to this day, as John himself said of Jesus, "He must become greater." So the words of Jesus on prayer remain for our benefit to this day. So very briefly, I just want to look in Luke 11 at three interlinked aspects of prayer. First of all, praying with the right heart. And secondly, praying with perseverance. And then finally, praying for the right things. Now, the structured prayer that we get here in Luke, in verses 2-4, is a condensed echo of what we call the Lord's Prayer, laid out more fully in Matthew 6, I'm sure familiar to many of us. Now, I don't know if you've noticed in the words of verses 2-4 that it's an unselfish prayer. It says, "Give us, forgive us, we also, lead us." And this is all a long way from our modern culture of personal fulfillment and self-importance, of me, 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 I want, give me. And the focus shows a heart for the collective extension of God's rule in our hearts, in the hearts of others, and through how we live collectively. There are, in this shortened version, 6 or 7 petitions or requests, precise number depending on your exact Bible translation. But only one is to do with material things. And that's in verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread, the most basic gift for our daily bread. It's a prayer for what we could call the essentials we need in life to serve and glorify God. But it's also a prayer for the right attitude. The daily bread here in verse 3, it calls to remind us of the manna from heaven that sustained the Israelites during their wanderings in the wilderness, just enough for each day, with any attempt at hoarding proving futile, to stress the complete dependence on God, a God of plenty. So when we pray, we should pray with the right heart, humbled by the immense holiness of our God, conscious of our complete dependence upon him for everything, and concerned for a world that needs to know his reign above all else. And then secondly, we should persevere in prayer. And this is looking at this parable in verses, this story in verses 5 to 8. That we're so used to Deliveroo and 24-hour shopping that perhaps we struggle to understand the deep embarrassment felt by this man in this parable in verse 5 when he gets an unexpected visitor stopping off at midnight on his travels. Bread was normally baked first thing in the morning. So in the middle of the night, he had no food at all to offer, which was a huge affront to the Middle Eastern obligations to show hospitality to visitors. So he goes to a friend's house and asks to borrow just 3 small loaves of bread, what we probably call these days mini rolls. Now note that that friend in verse 7 doesn't call him friend back, but just tells him to go away, even though he clearly has the spare bread, as we see a bit later on. After all, it's past bedtime. The doors are all locked. The family are probably all sleeping on the roof of the house where it was cooler. So he's disturbed them and maybe even the animals downstairs that have been brought in for the night if he gets up now. But the man just keeps on banging on the door. And his sometime friend eventually gets up and gives him not just 3 loaves, but as much as he needs. And the point of this parable is this: if through sheer persistence we can get a rather selfish person to do what you want, how much more will perseverance result in a blessing from a bountiful God who incidentally never sleeps and will never respond to our pleas in a begrudging way? And unlike this somewhat friend here, we have a true and consistent friend in Jesus, who goes on to say here in verse 9, ask, seek, knock. There's a progression of urgency in those 3 words of ask, seek, knock. Let's say your child is really sick and what they need is a blood transfusion. But their blood type is so rare that only one person can provide it. You would ask that person. And if that doesn't work, you track them down to where they live, and after seeking and finding them, you would just bang on their door until they answered. But with Jesus, that door will be opened. Now, it might be that you feel like you've been banging on that door for a long time, and you begin to wonder if anybody is in. Now, there's all kinds of reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers according to our timescales. The fact is that if all our prayers were answered immediately, we may start to think that it's because our prayers are just so special and become rather proud of ourselves rather than relying upon God's perfect will. And we can forget that the one more than any other who has experienced an apparently silent God was Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken for us so that we can call out to the Heavenly Father. I was struck preparing this by the words of a Dutch minister from the first half of the 20th century called Frans Bakker in a gem of a little book on prayer. Now, he had a really fruitful, faithful ministry, but was struck down by cancer. This is the first half of the 20th century. Treatment wasn't what it is now. He was operated on, and then continued his work for a time, but the cancer came back and eventually claimed his life in the 60s. Now, I'm sure he prayed for healing. But as he says in that wonderful book, I quote, "Between the prayer and the answer lies the sovereignty of God." I just want to flip for a second that image of us banging on the door. And just final image to go on the screen here is an image of a painting. It's better in real life than actually in the JPEG or whatever that's called, in the pixelation. But you can actually see this painting. I think this is the version which hangs in Keble College in Oxford. We've got some visitors from Oxford today. You can go and visit it. It's called The Light of the World by William Holman Hunt, a pre-Raphaelite painting. And it's based on Revelation 3:20, when Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." But you see on that doorway, on the painting there, it's a little bit choked by weeds that can get in the way of opening it. But more crucially, the handle is actually on the inside. We need to open the door and welcome Jesus in. And so the greatest blessing we can pray for back in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, isn't a fish or an egg. It's not a wage rise, promotion, or a GCSE grade 9. Look, of course, we can pray about all those things. That's perfectly right that we do so. But the greatest gift from our Father in heaven, it says in Luke 11, is to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And when we open that door of our lives to God in salvation faith, he gives us his presence within us through his Spirit, like an official stamp that we are his children. There is no greater gift that we could pray for, anything more precious than this. And so this passage in Luke is saying, it's okay to feel inadequate in our prayers. But don't let that stop us praying with the right heart, with persistence, knowing that we are speaking to a loving God who wants to fully bless us with the best of things, even himself. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, young or old, thank you that these words of Jesus are for us all, that we may know what it means to have you as our Heavenly Father, to know through Jesus this immediacy of your presence in our lives by your Holy Spirit. Help us to rejoice in these great blessings that you have given us, the greatest gift of all, even eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.